afternoon. It's 3 o'clock and you are tuned to KTUO News in Juneau here on Thursday, the 13th of October, the year 2011. Jeff Brown with you here on a Juneau afternoon. Today we'll find out about Saturday's Llama Llama Party Party with Katrina Pearson from Hearthside Books. Nicole Hollingstead will be giving us the details on Saturday's Women's Health Forum at Centennial Hall. We'll get a preview of next week's Alaska Day Ball with guests Fred Thorstensen, Lorna Kastner, and Karen Benet Peterson. We'll also talk with visiting yoga instructor Les Leventhal. And Nancy DeJourney will be here with news and views about local arts activities during Arts Up. That's today on a Juneau afternoon. With the forecast for tonight, mostly cloudy skies with areas of fog and scattered rain showers. Forecast for Friday, mostly cloudy skies with a chance of rain showers and high temperatures around 45 degrees.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. As tribal leaders continue to lobby Congress this week, there are some specific priorities they're addressing on Capitol Hill. Matt Laszlo has more from Washington, D.C.
Tribal leaders are working vigorously with lawmakers to protect their budget priorities, but some other issues are front and center in meetings this week, too. Tribal leaders want Congress to better define land trust on tribal lands. Recent court cases have allowed challenges to the federal Indian Trust land status after it's already been approved. John Dossett of the National Congress of American Indians says the case set a bad precedent that could cost tribes money.
Economic development is delayed, jobs are lost, or they're never created on Indian reservations.
Another issue on tribal leaders' minds is protecting Native women from abuse. Juana Mohol-Dixon is lobbying to allow tribes to prosecute non-Indians who abuse women on tribal lands.
We needed clarity on Congress to clarify that tribe has full civil jurisdiction to issue and enforce protection orders involving all persons in Indian and non-Indian alike.
More than 100 tribal leaders are spending the week meeting with lawmakers of both parties. For National Native News, I'm Matt Laszlo.
U.S. Senator Lisa Murkowski will hold a field hearing on Alaska Native youth suicide. The Alaska senator announced Wednesday the hearing will be held next week in Anchorage during the Alaska Federation of Natives Convention. Murkowski says the Senate Indian Affairs Committee field hearing is to delve into more of the issues surrounding youth suicide. For example, connections to depression, violence within the home, and lack of support. Witnesses include federal and health officials. Murkowski says a visioning dialogue will follow the hearing to bring together young people and community members to share their ideas. Murkowski hopes they'll hear how the committee can make a difference in their communities. According to the Alaska Bureau of Vital Statistics, Alaska has the highest rate of suicides per capita in the country, and Alaska Native men between 15 to 24 have the highest rate of suicide in the United States. A Wisconsin tribe's effort to regain over 1,000 acres of land in Sauk County has ended. Steve Reitzum reports.
For the past 13 years, the Ho-Chunk Nation had been trying to arrange a transfer of 1,500 acres of the land the tribe ceded to the U.S. government in 1837. The land was more recently the site of the now-closed Badger Army Ammunition Plant. In a letter, the Bureau of Indian Affairs, or BIA, rejected the transfer because it believes the land is contaminated and that conducting an environmental assessment would be too costly. Ho-Chunk Nation spokeswoman Ann Thundercloud says the land has spiritual and historical significance for the tribe. She says the BIA's decision is disappointing.
For over 13 years, we fully participated in the federal land disposition process, coordinated future land use planning with the local community, and provided thorough environmental and legal expertise to realize our claim.
Thundercloud says the tribe has decided to no longer attempt to acquire the land. She says the Ho-Chunk Nation will now seek to get the money back it spent to ensure the land claim would happen. I'm Steve Reisom.
The Ute Mountain Ute Tribe and Colorado's State Historic Preservation Office signed an agreement to fund a cultural resources management plan. The contract is for two grants of more than $200,000. It will go toward developing and implementing a plan for the tribe, which includes developing a website and building a database for records, surveying, and other cultural resources work. Ute Mountain Ute Chairman Gary Hayes says the grants will help the Tribal Preservation Office ensure longevity and help preserve important historic sites. The agreement is the first government-to-government contract between Colorado's State Historic Preservation Office and a Tribal Historic Preservation Office. The signing ceremony took place last week in Denver. During this month in 2007, an indigenous summit was held in the Mexican state of Sonora. The Zapatista National Liberation Army and other groups called for unity among the world's indigenous people. Native people from the U.S., Canada, and other countries talked about ways to strengthen their cultures. This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kowanic Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. With funding by the Washington, D.C. and Alaska law firm of Sanosky, Chambers, Saxe, Miller, and Munson, defending Native American interests throughout the United States. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
Time is 3:05 and you are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau here on a Juneau afternoon. Our first guest is Katrina Pierce from Hearthside Books here to talk about a Llama Llama Party Party. Katrina, thank you very much for coming down to the show.
Thanks for having me, Jeff.
First of all, what is Llama Llama, or who is Llama Llama?
Llama Llama is the star of a book series by an author named Anna Dudney, and these are preschool-age children's storybooks, and Llama is a very kind of endearing character, and there are five books in the series, Llama Llama Red Pajama, Llama Llama Mad at Mama, Llama Llama Home with Mama, Llama Llama Mrs. Mama, and Llama Llama Holiday Drama.
I'm sensing a theme here.
Yes, I could hardly get that out of my mouth, actually.
Is it in the Llama Llama is really a llama?
In the book, of course, you know, this particular llama talks and has conversations and feelings and things. And Llama Llama is going to pay a visit to Hearthside on Saturday afternoon at 12 o'clock. And we're going to have some events with Llama Llama, and we're inviting the public to come on out.
What about the books captivates kids?
I think this particular series is sort of wonderful because Llama Llama is a young llama who's growing up and he's dealing with feelings and experiences for the first time and learning just kind of how to grow. And he's working on things like how to be patient and separation anxiety when he goes to school and he's away from his mother and being sick and having to stay at home. And so the stories are all about how to deal with those things in positive ways, and they're all just beautifully illustrated. The illustrations are really vibrant, and each story rhymes. And it all talks about this really amazing bond between a mother and a child and how they cope and how they guide the child and growing through these situations.
If Llama Llama was a person, how old would Llama Llama be?
I think Llama Llama would be 4 or 5.
Mm-hmm. So what's happening on Saturday? Starts at noon, right?
Starts at noon. Llama Llama will be there, and we'll do, you know, we'll have balloons for kids. We're going to read some stories, you know, probably on the half hour, like 12:30, 1, and then 1:30. We're going to have some snacks and a craft table with drawing and coloring, and then we have copies of the Llama Llama books to give away and some puppets, you know, so we have prizes as well.
Sounds fun, and it's all free?
It's all free, yep.
All right, Katrina Pearson, thank you so much for coming down and talking about Llama Llama. Anything you'd like to add? Let's talk about upcoming activities.
Oh, we do. We have a really full events calendar for this fall, and I want to mention one specific one. Next week, Debbie Miller, she's going to be on your show next week, but she is an Alaska Nature author from Fairbanks, and she has some amazing books for kids about the nature of Alaska, and then she also has a book on Anwar that's very interesting. And she will be at our mall store next Wednesday evening, which is the 19th at 5 o'clock. But if you want any information about any of our events, you can look at our website, and the events calendar is updated and complete, and we're also on Facebook.
A lot of book things going on this winter, as well as at the Hearthside Books and the library and evening reading and presentations.
Mm-hmm. There are lots of book events this winter.
So there's always something to do in Juneau, even if it's just sitting at home reading a book.
Right, or meeting a llama.
Well, thank you for coming down to the station.
Thank you, Jeff.
I want a llama.
Yes, I do. Yeah.
I want a llama for my very own.
Oh, oh.
I want a llama.
You know it's true.
Yeah. I want to give him a happy home. Wow.
I'll take him all around.
Wow.
We'll be the talk of the whole darn town.
Ooh, yeah, yeah, sha, sha. I want a llama.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I ain't putting down llama.
Wow.
Please don't get me wrong.
sheets aren't exactly white.
I want a llama.
Yes, I do.
Yeah. I want a llama for my very own. I want a llama.
You know it's true.
Yeah. I want to give him a happy home. Wow.
I'll take him all around.
Wow.
We'll be the talk of the whole darn town.
Ooh-wee, yeah, yeah, sha-sha. I want a llama.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, llama is never boring.
Wow.
But they smell a whole lot better than a gnu.
I want a llama.
Yes, I do.
Yeah. I want a llama for my very own. I want a llama.
You know it's true.
Yeah. I want to give him a happy home. Wow.
I'll take him all around.
Wow.
We'll be the talk of the whole darn town.
Ooh-wee, yeah, yeah, sha-sha. I want a llama.
La 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 la
ma 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 la 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 ma 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 ma. I want a llama.
Yes, I do.
Yeah. I want a llama for my very own. I want a llama.
You know it's true.
Yeah. I'm gonna give him a happy home. Wow.
I'll take him all around.
Wow.
We'll be the talk of the whole darn town.
Ooh-wee, yeah, yeah, sha sha. I want a llama.
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want a llama for my very own. I want a llama.
You know it's true.
Yeah. I'm gonna give him a happy home. Wow.
I'll pack a lunch for two.
Wow.
With a can of lima beans from Lima, Peru.
Big horns, black stripes, cool bus. I want a platypus.
Yeah.
It is a group two of a kind. Time is 3:12 and you are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau here on a Juneau afternoon. Our next guest is Nicole Hollingstand here to talk about the Cancer Connections Women Health Forum, which is coming up on Saturday, October 15th from 11 till 2. Nicole, thank you very much for being in the station today.
It's good to see you again, Jeff.
So first of all, Cancer Connection, can you give an overview of the organization, please?
I would be more than happy to. But first, if I may, I would like to give a huge thank you to Capital City Weekly. They are one of the sponsors for a cancer awareness event this weekend called Battle of the Bands. And they've got a fantastic insert in their current edition that has a wonderful write-up on Cancer Connection. So a great deal of information to be found there, also on our website. But for those who aren't familiar with Cancer Connection, we're a local, nonprofit, grassroots organization. We create a resource center for people to find out information about cancer and what resources are available to patients in Southeast Alaska. Our focus really is on those patients in this region. One of the things I really love about Cancer Connection is that we strive to keep the resources that we're able to get through donations and fundraisers, to keep that funding really local to the Southeast region, to patients in Juneau. You know, we recognize what a challenge a diagnosis can be, and we hope to be there to help you find some of those answers.
And to help find other answers, the Women's Health Forum is happening on Saturday the 15th from 11 till 2. What's going to be happening? We were talking about it before. We couldn't figure out if it's the 10th annual or the 20th annual or the 100th annual.
It has been around a while. I think it's a great annual event. Cancer Connection sponsors the Women's Health Forum in the fall and the Men's Health Forum in the spring. So I'm going to get a little early plug-in for the Men's Health Forum, generally in March. Women, bring your partners. The Women's Health Forum in the fall, we have covered a whole host of subjects from nutrition to depression to mind, health, spirit. And this year, the emphasis is going to be on genetics. The theme is called It's in the Genes, Genetics and Cancer. So for this particular Women's Health Forum, we do have a featured speaker. But as always, we have a whole selection of vendors, tables, where you can get information from service providers. There are some health agencies. There are exercise groups. So between the resources you can pick up there and our main featured speaker, we're going to throw in a free lunch, and it's a great way to spend a few hours on a Saturday afternoon.
Who's your speaker?
Our speaker this year is Maggie Miller. She is a certified genetics counselor. She's coming to us from Anchorage. And although she is not herself a physician, genetics counseling is really important for those folks who suspect there might be a link possibly between their own recent diagnosis and inherited genes, or for those who want to find out a little bit more about whether or not they might be likely to have inherited, you know, something from their own gene pool.
Mm-hmm.
We know from research that there among cancers, about 1 in 20, so about 5% of cancers are actually caused by mutated inherited genes. Breast cancer in particular has become very refined around genetics. There are specific genes that can be identified, BRCA1 and BRCA2. Many women often have a very specific test to find out if they're carrying that gene, and that helps inform their option selections, treatment selections.
Well, what about mammograms? I know there's mixed schools of thought on that.
There are different schools of thought. And, my involvement with Cancer Connection is certainly not to give medical advice. We absolutely encourage everybody to seek out their own good health. For many people, that involves regular screenings. For some, it provides a peace of mind. They can set a baseline for themselves and then track any important changes in their tissue. For others who might not, might be a little more hesitant to go in for an exam like that, there are different schools of thought about the effectiveness of mammograms, how often you should have them, when you should start. But I can tell you from my own experience as a breast cancer survivor, I had a clear mammogram in January of the year I was diagnosed, and by July, I had a tumor the size of a golf ball. By August, when it was taken out, it was almost a tennis ball. So within 6 months of a clear exam, I definitely had an issue that needed, treatment. And had I not cued myself to go in regularly, it may have gone even longer.
What other kinds of new things are on the horizon for research?
Well, some folks may have heard some news just in the past few days. There are studies out now regarding prostate cancer and the types of exams that men should or should not get, whether or not it is helpful for them, for their long-term health, for their long-term even emotional and mental well-being, to undergo prostate cancer testing and screening. Again, this is just a recent study, so there's been a lot of dialogue and debate around it. I absolutely encourage every individual person to get informed, find out what the options are, and then talk to people you trust about possible courses of action.
And you have another special guest who's going to be appearing at the Women's Health Forum, and it's someone who's several feet long.
Absolutely a special guest. We had a little bit of a challenge trying to get him into Centennial Hall. He is Nolan the Colon, and he is a special display. Search is going to be providing him from 2 p.m. to 8 p.m. to the general public. So he'll be set up and ready to go towards the end of the Women's Health Forum. And he's 32 feet long and 15 feet high. It is a walkthrough interactive display. So
I could think of things I'd rather walk through, but
there may be worse things to walk through. Who knows? So if you come for the Women's Health Forum, stay for Nolan. If you can't make the forum, try to swing through Centennial Hall and check him out.
Nolan the Colon.
Yeah, I've heard really great things about it. Even the folks at Centennial Hall are kind of eager to get him set up and really see, 32 feet long, 15 feet high. This is kind of something to experience, I think. And hopefully, the Women's Health Forum, in spite of its name, is open to the public. So men are invited. This is a great time to to get in touch with your colon, I guess, or at least with Nolan. So, we hope people come by and learn what they can, take away what they can, The other nice thing about the Women's Health Forum is we do have a scheduled question and answer session, but often, you know, people come by just to listen. To gather information. It's not something where you have to be actively engaged in the question and answer. We hope that you just take away, you know, whatever you can from the experience. It's a wonderful community resource. Cancer Connection is very pleased and proud that through donations and through fundraising efforts, we're able to provide this forum.
I'm just thinking that Nolan McCullen might be the featured guest artist at next year's Alaska Folk Festival.
You never know. I have no idea what kind of music he might make, but I guess we'll find out on Saturday.
Nolan McCullen and other people will be appearing at the Women's Health Forum this Saturday, October 15th from 11 till 2. Will Nolan McCullen be there an extended amount of time?
He will be from 2 p.m. to 8 p.m., so long into the day and even into the early evening. People can stop by and check out Nolan. The Battle of the Bands event starts at 9, so for folks who maybe want to come a little early, stop into Centennial Hall. He'll still be there.
Is there a schedule of activities people could find out online?
Absolutely. We invite you to stop by Cancer Connection's website, cancerconnectionak.org. We do have an events link with a lot of cancer awareness events happening throughout the month of October.
And you want to thank some of your sponsors?
I would love to thank all of my sponsors. We've got so many great volunteers. Abby's Kitchen is catering. We've got a fantastic Women's Health Forum committee who helps pull all of this together. And all of the vendors who are going to show up in the interest of better health for the community of Juneau, you know, we thank all of them.
Nicole Hollingstead, thank you very much. If anybody has questions, again, that website one more time.
CancerConnectionAK.org.
And Nicole, thank you very much for coming by.
Thanks, Jeff.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday. It's the 13th of October, 2011. It's the birthday of the cookbook author Molly Katzen, born Rochester, New York, 1950. Went to college at Cornell, dropped out, frustrated by all of the student activism around her. She said, "I just kind of wanted to go to school. Everyone was like, Nixon invaded Cambodia, so we shouldn't go to school. I was thinking, I don't see the connection." She moved to California, then she came back to Ithaca, where her brother was starting a restaurant called the Moosewood. She helped for a while, and she ended up collecting recipes and publishing the Moosewood Cookbook. Came out in 1977. Things like gypsy soup, tabbouleh, zucchini, feta, pancakes. It came out in an edition of 800 copies, then 2,000 more. The New York Times recently listed the Moosewood Cookbook as one of the top 10 best-selling cookbooks of all time. Her most recent cookbook is entitled Get Cooking. It's the birthday of the novelist Conrad Richter, born in Pine Grove, Pennsylvania, 1890. Moved off to New Mexico in 1928 with his wife, who was not in the best of health. And there, he read stories of pioneer life in the Southwest, came out with his first novel, The Sea of Grass, in 1936. His trilogy of novels set in Ohio, entitled The Trees, The Fields, The Town, came out in the 40s. Conrad Richter was always anxious about money and was disappointed over and over again by the poor sales of his novels, The Trees especially. His friend and editor Alfred A. Knopf wrote, "I think that The Trees suffered from lack of action and story and gave the reader not enough narrative to bite into and something of the impression of being an overture rather than the main show." And also, it was up against tough competition in 1940, for whom The Bell Tolls came out that year, The Grapes of Wrath the year before. And it's the birthday of the comedian Lenny Bruce, born in Mineola, New York, 1925, who said, "A comedian is one who performs words or actions of his own original creation, usually before a group of people in a place of assembly, and these words or actions should cause the people assembled to laugh at a minimum of, on the average, one laugh every 15 seconds. This comedian gets paid, so his first loyalty is to the club owner, and he must make money for the owner. If he can upgrade the moral standards of his community and still get laughs, he is a fine craftsman." Here's a poem by Joy Sutphen, Bookmobile. I spend part of my childhood waiting for the Stearns County Bookmobile. When it comes to town, it makes a U-turn in front of the grade school and glides into its place under the elms. It is a natural wonder of late afternoon. I try to imagine Dante, William Faulkner, and Emily Dickinson traveling down a double-lane highway together, country western on the radio. Even when it arrives, I have to wait. The librarian is busy getting out the inky pad and the lined cards. I pace back and forth in the line, hungry for the fresh bread of the page, because I need something that will tell me what I am. I want to catch a book clear as a one-way ticket to Paris, to London, to anywhere. Bookmobile by Joy Sutphen, from Coming Back to the Body, published by Holy Cow Press and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation, publisher of Poetry Magazine. You can read the current issue of Poetry or listen to the monthly Editor's Podcast at poetryfoundation.org. And by the PBS Arts Fall Festival, featuring Pearl Jam, Steve Martin, and more, starts Friday night at 9, 8 Central on PBS. Produced by Kathy Roach and Nick Vetter, be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Time is 3:26 and you are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau here on a Juneau afternoon. Next guest here to talk about rainforest yoga and the workshop I'm coming up with Les Leventhal. Lindsay Bloom is we're here with rainforest yoga, and Les Leventhal is here to talk about his workshop. Thank you very much for coming down.
Thanks, Jeff.
Hi, thanks for having me back. Good to be back in Juneau again this year.
Lindsay, you want to tell me about rainforest yoga, please?
Rainforest yoga, most people have probably heard of. It's a long-time Juneau-based nonprofit yoga studio. It's all volunteer-run, and a couple times a year we are honored to bring in very special guest teachers like Les. So we're so happy to have him back and excited for the workshop this weekend.
Les, tell me a little bit about your background, if you could, please.
I've been practicing yoga since 1999. I was a sports guy before that, and got into yoga just because I needed to do a little bit of stretching and get rid of some injuries. And yoga changed my life, got me out of the corporate world unexpectedly. And about 5 years into my practice, I started teaching. I thought, oh, I think I actually like this. Then it changed my life some more. Then it changed my relationships. And then it changed my relationship to how I am with myself. And then yoga became fun and not a suffering chore thing to do to get rid of injuries. And it provided a lot of freedom in my entire life, actually. It's just changed everything that I do. And now I get to travel around the world and teach yoga and come to amazing places like Juneau.
In what ways did you change?
What ways did I change? Well, I definitely come from a background of addiction, and yoga has helped heal that in many ways. It's calmed my mind. It's calmed my need for material things. So although now that I'm up in Juneau, I do need to return home with a little bit of fresh salmon, but you know, I don't really shop for those other things, like clothes and all the other stuff that I thought would make me feel better, and those great feelings I always was searching for, I really get from practicing yoga.
What style of yoga do you practice?
I do a style called vinyasa, which is a free form, which for me is the essence of what yoga is to me, which is complete freedom. There's many different systems of yoga, and so whatever background anyone has here in Juneau, they're welcome to come practice. There'll be some music, and it's for all levels. So if tomorrow is your first day of yoga, you can come to the class tomorrow night. If you've been practicing for 25 years, you can come. If you're injured, you can come. If you're pregnant, you can come. So anybody can come do the yoga. It's set up in such a way that everyone will have something to do, and everyone will have a chance to have some fun, because yoga is meant to be fun. In the beginning, I didn't know that. Yoga for me was a lot of work and like a chore, and I almost felt like I was being a scolded little kid for not doing it right. So you won't get any of that from me this weekend at all.
How do you usher somebody, a newcomer, into the world of yoga?
Say again?
How do you usher a newcomer into the world of yoga?
How do I usher a newcomer? I welcome them with a hug, as I do everybody to classes, and a big smile. And I let them know that wherever they are in their body, like if you can't touch your toes, you can come to class. If you never touch your toes in this lifetime practicing yoga for the every day for the rest of your life, you can still come to class. So I let people know that wherever they are inside their bodies, it's a gift that we even have a body at all, so it's okay.
So these classes are on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. How do they progress?
Friday night we're doing a let go flow. So it's just sort of like an all levels class where everyone just kind of come in, bring whatever stuff they're holding on to from the week and just kind of let it all go. And then Saturday morning we're doing a backbending class, so opening the heart and the shoulders and freeing up the spine a little bit. And then Sunday afternoon is a hips and twists class, which is very fun and very liberating. And Lindsay's told me it's been kind of dark and rainy here for a few days, a few weeks, a few months. A little longer than that. So hopefully we'll have some sunshine and some playfulness. Those classes are at Harbor View, and I just came from the space, so it's inside kind of where the cafeteria is, and it's a really playful atmosphere, so I'm really excited to be teaching there. And then on Saturday afternoon and Sunday morning, we're doing a vinyasa sequencing and hands-on adjustment. So for anyone who's teachers or massage therapists or any kind of body workers or people who just want to dive a little bit deeper outside of the actual just practicing of yoga, I want to get a little bit more deeper into how we put things together and how the body's put together and how we touch people and why we touch people and that kind of interaction with people. So there's also those two sessions as well.
So it's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. What times are the classes?
Friday night is 6:30, 8:30. Saturday morning, the backbending is 9:30 to 12:30. The sequencing Saturday afternoon is 2 to 5. Sunday morning, hips and twists is, Sunday morning, the adjustments are 9:30 to noon. And then hips and twists in the afternoon, 2 to 5. And you can go to
www.rainforestyoga.org to see that schedule and see more of a description of the classes and any other information you might need.
And if people want to get a look at what kind of yoga I do, they can go to yogawithless.com/free download. They can get a free 30-minute video podcast of my yoga video, and they can practice that tonight or tomorrow morning and then come back and do some more tomorrow night.
What's the hardest thing for people who are just new to yoga?
The hardest thing for people who are just new to yoga, it's very seductive to want to do everything that we see. And we see other people doing things, and we think, oh, I want that. And if I can put my foot behind my head, then I'll be happy too. But sometimes just being able to see other people do things is a really nice witnessing of the beauty. So part of my job is to continue to remind people that it's an invitation to just stay exactly where they are and not have to push to that place. So yoga for me is like taking a vacation. I want to take pictures, and I want to step up to the edge, like go to the Grand Canyon. I don't want to get too close. Then I get a little bit of fear, a little anxiety. I want to be able to enjoy the view. So I'm going to be reminding people it's okay to stay where you are.
I've been talking with Les Leventhal and also Lindsay Bloom about the Rainforest Yoga's workshops coming up on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. One more time, that website where people can get more information?
It's rainforestyoga.org.
Or yogawithless.com.
All right, thank you very much for coming by.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks, Jeff.
See you guys this weekend.
3:35, and you are tuned to KTLO News in Juneau here on a Juneau afternoon. Our next guest here to talk about next week's Alaska Day Ball, which is happening on the 21st. Fred Thorstenson is here from the Pioneers of Alaska, and Karen Benet Peterson is here as one of the organizers. Thank you for coming down to the station today.
Thank you for inviting us here, Jeff.
And this, go ahead.
Thank you.
This organization, this event is co-sponsored by the Pioneers of Alaska. Fred, do you want to tell me about the Pioneers of Alaska, please?
Sure. The Pioneers of Alaska is a fraternal type organization. It's there are two separate igloos, we call them, here in Juneau. There's a men's igloo and there's also a women's igloo. The Pioneers of Alaska were originally formed in 1907 in Nome, and then the organization spread throughout the state, and at one time there were as many as 35 separate organizations. Now there's only 17 active right now at this time, I believe. The Pioneers in Juneau were, the men's igloo was chartered in 1913, and the ladies' igloo was chartered in 1935. What we do is we work to preserve art, history, literature, and things here in Juneau is our main focus. And then we donate to several different charities and provide scholarships to high school students. Do a lot of different things, and it's a social organization also.
About how many members are statewide?
I believe right now just a little bit over 5,000.
It's a respectable number.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
How many in Juneau?
Right now there's about 189 members in the men's igloo, and I believe the ladies have close to 280.
How often do you meet?
We meet once a month, and it's usually on the last Friday of the month. There are some exceptions to that around the holidays. We change things up a little bit, but we meet at the Juneau Senior Center, and it's usually 5:30 to 8:30 or so.
Usually there's some history lessons on the agenda as well.
We do. We have speakers come in and talk about things that are related to the Juneau history or Alaska history. Sometimes there'll be discussions about ongoing projects, things like the whale sculpture project. The ladies that are doing that have come down and spoken to us a few times. And so we try to keep up on what current things are going on with relation to art and different cultural type things.
And one of the requirements for being a member is you have to live in Alaska for 30 years.
That's correct, yeah. Originally, the membership was you had to have lived in Alaska prior to, or I think it was prior to 1887.
And it knocks me out.
It knocks just about everybody out. And they changed that to a 30-year residency requirement. It doesn't have to be consecutive, but it does have to, your total residency in Alaska has to equal 30 years.
And you have to be voted in by the membership?
Yes.
Let's talk a little bit about the Alaska Day celebration, which is happening on the 21st. First of all, why do we celebrate Alaska Day?
We're celebrating Alaska Day because that was the day that we bought Alaska, and it's a state holiday, and it's something that is, I think, needs to be acknowledged, and we thought of a way of doing it was to have a ball, have people get together, and have people, there's going to be pictures around that will be showing the city of Juneau, what it used to look like, and how it's grown in the years since. That was in 18, I forgot what year that was. Uh-oh, my history's failing me.
1867, on October 18th, the transfer ceremony took place in Sitka. Where
right.
they transferred the Alaska, territory of Alaska to the United States from Russia.
But Juneau did not start. The earliest pictures I could find was 1889 were the earliest pictures I could find of Juneau. And then after that, then Juneau started building. I've got some other pictures that are of 1909 that show some, you start to see how the Juneau's starting to develop. And it's interesting to see how Juneau has grown over the years. And there's been a lot of change. And I think people need to realize just where they come from, not only what is involved in what they have around them, but also know their cultures, know their histories, know where, and know the people around them. I think it's important, especially nowadays, that we start connecting, not only with each other, but connect with our histories, because we're starting to get so involved in just our little TVs or our Facebook or internet. I think we need to also have face-to-face communication, I think, is involved, should be involved. That's part of the other reason I wanted to get a ball out there, just like what they used to do in the old days, when people connected and people got to know each other.
And this is the second year you've done it?
Yes, the first year we did it on a Monday to emphasize that it was on Alaska Day. But this year we're going to try it on a Friday, because that would be hopefully getting more people to come out and socialize and dance.
What kind of activities are taking place then?
Well, we have Abby's Kitchen is going to be bringing in the food. We have Martinelli's is going to be doing the beverages. And we have Alaska's Kit and the Caboodles will be the band. And then we will have pictures from the Alaska State Archives that will be up on the walls. They'll be showing on three screens. And free ballroom dance lessons for the first hour from 6 to 7. So that should be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to that.
Where can people get tickets?
You can get your tickets at Hearthside Books or from Pioneers members. We're going to be selling at the Mendenhall Mall. We have a table there, and we'll be selling tickets there on the 15th and 16th. And then basically Hearthside Books is the main place where you can get them, besides seeing one of us at the fair. Come see the fair at the mall.
And last year when you were here, you were dressed in a very fancy outfit. Do you have to dress in fancy outfits to go to the ball?
No, you don't have to, but we're going to do it again. I've got another one because, I gained a little bit of weight. So I had to order another dress, and I got that. So I'm going to be wearing that at the ball.
And this is happening the 21st of this month, which is a week from this Friday. I've been talking to Karen Bennett Peterson and Fred Thorstenson about the Alaska Day Ball, again happening on the 21st. Is there anything you'd like to add, if we're going to ask?
No, I'd just like to invite everyone to come and enjoy themselves and, take part in the dancing lessons. Or last year when we used the same band, and it was a very pleasant event. You can talk over the music. It isn't loud, so you can enjoy your the company around the table, as well as get out and dance to some pretty good music. So once again, please come on out.
The music is going to be like 40s, 50s type music. Mark Alton is going to be doing the sound for it, and he's really good at making sure that the music is just right for talking. And then also, I just wanted to mention that the Pioneers of Alaska, they also have put out a couple of books. Channel Memories is one of the books that they put out. They also make sure that people have, during the winter times, that there is... that we can go to the museum for free for all the local residents. And they did the pavilion that's in Douglas. So the Pioneers of Alaska is trying to keep art and culturals and activities going in the community. So it's a really good organization that if people would like to join, you know, there'd be applications as well to fill out. But I think it's not just for old folks. It's for people that want to preserve the histories and cultures of our state.
All right. Fred, is there a website or anybody can get more information?
I wish that there was. We're still working on that, and a website is in progress of being made. There's one statewide. You could go to pioneersofalaska.org, and you can find some application information and history about the Pioneers of Alaska. We have not gotten our part of the website put up to speed yet, but that's one of the things we're going to be working on.
Maybe you can get a new volunteer who's listening now on the radio.
If anybody knows anything about it, that would be more than any of the rest of us know, that's for sure.
How can they get a hold of you?
They could call me at 321 8868, and I'd be happy to talk to anyone about membership or if you wanted to help out with a website, that would be great.
And Karen, you're going to be here with Kid and the Caboodles here next week to talk a little bit more about the Alaska Ball?
Yes, I will be with Kit will be here, and then I'm hoping, I'm not sure how many of the band members will be here. They also have jobs, so I'm hoping that they'll be here. They're a wonderful band.
All right, thank you very much for coming down to the station today.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you, Jeff.
Steve Nelson and friends, a little version of the Alaska flag song.
Support comes from listeners like you and from Juno Artist Gallery, a cooperative featuring the work of over 25 local artists and artisans. Juno Artist Gallery is open Tuesday through Saturday from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m., located downtown in the Senate Building.
Time is 3:47 and you are tuned to KTOO News in Juno here on a Juno Afternoon, where our next guest is Nancy DeTourney from the Juno Arts and Humanities Council, talking about stuff that's going on or not going on in the community.
Well, I see you're appropriately dressed. You're ready for the South Sea Islands, right?
That's right, Te Vaka.
Okay, so we'll just try to get all the way through the week here if we can. You were just talking about the Alaska Day holiday, so everybody knows that Tuesday's a holiday. Music, theater, and the arts. You have a bunch of stuff to choose from. There is 39 Steps at Perseverance Theater. It has been extended to October 23rd. If you haven't had a chance to see it, don't waste. Get on it. Midsummer's Night Dream, Theater in the Rough. It opens tonight with a free preview and then runs through Friday and Saturday and runs for several weekends, but I'm not going to tell you that because then you'll put it off. Boundary by Tom Moran is at second stage at Perseverance. There's a 2 p.m. on Sunday, as well as Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at 7:30. Singing in the Rain is the cabaret. Barney McClure, Jazz and Classics, does this annually. It's over at the Jack on Friday evening. Starts at 7, and I've been having the pleasure of listening to all those people practice. It's going to be wonderful. So come on over. The Juno Douglas High School Drama Department's got Curious Savage at 7 o'clock on Friday and Saturday, and this is the last weekend to see that. Tom Loker's over at the Zephyr on piano. Rick Trostel and Doug Smith are putting on a concert they're calling The Wanderer. It is at Resurrection Lutheran Church at 7:30 Friday and Saturday. And then if you happen to be in Sitka, they'll be there on Sunday with it. The Great Alaska Bluegrass Band is at the Alaskan Bar from 10 to midnight on Friday and Saturday. The Alaska Youth Choir is having a community concert at Northern Light Church at 7 o'clock on Saturday. Julie Cozy and Tom Loker are at T.K. McGuire's at the Prospector Hotel starting at 7. KXLL and the Capital City Weekly are having a battle of the bands, 7 or 8 different bands. They'll be over at the Jack starting at 9 o'clock, going till midnight. It's a fundraiser for cancer research. Looks like it's going to be quite a bit of fun. On Sunday, there's International Folk and Ballroom Dancing at 6 o'clock at the Downtown Racquet Club. And as we mentioned, Tay Baca in concert. Please don't miss this. We are so, it's great. And on a rainy day like this, you need some South Sea Island stuff. Wear your Hawaiian shirts and all that sort of thing. This is going to be upbeat. They promise me you won't be able to stay in your seat, so don't
miss
it. It's
really, really fantastic music.
It is fantastic music. Betsy Sims has been listening to it. She's been sending clips out. All the people that I trust in the music department are saying this is not one to be missed. We are lucky to be on the tour. They're headed up to AFN. This is the real deal, folks. Also, out on Wednesday night, there's open mic at OCREC. Literary events. We have Anya Maria Spagna. She's an author of Potluck, Community on the Edge of Wilderness. She's going to be doing a reading at the Downtown Library on Friday at 7 p.m. And then on Saturday, she'll be doing writing workshops. The evening at Egan sounds like a really interesting presentation by Thomas King. On Friday at 7, Happy Trails, the Curious Future for Indians in North America. He's the author of a quite interesting book. Also at Hearthside Books on Saturday, Llama Llama Party Party. It's a children's event out at the Nugget Mall from noon to 2 on Saturday. On Monday and Tuesday, the Alaska State Literacy Conference is in town. That will be out at Thunder Mountain High School. And there's a focus writing group at the Downtown Library. They meet every Monday at 6 o'clock, and it's open to whoever would like to come down. It's a friendly group, nice place to get a little feedback. In the film department, it's movie night with Sale and the Canvas, Retchers and Jabbers, I think I wrote that wrong, at the Canvas on Friday at 7 o'clock. Rocky Horror Picture Show, it is that time of year, 9:30 Friday at the Nickelodeon. Telling Amy's Story, this is an AWARE presentation for domestic violence awareness. That's at the Goldtown Nickelodeon at 6:30 on Wednesday, and then there'll be a discussion that follows at the Heritage Coffee. Real Rock Film Tour, 6 short climbing films at the Goldtown Nickelodeon at 8 o'clock on Wednesday. The variety of workshops you could be taking. There's a second Friday teen hip-hop class at the Canvas on Friday at 4. The Saturday thing at the Juneau Economic Development Council is at 9:30 on Saturday. It meets this Saturday. It will miss next Saturday and then take up again after that. If you're in a Red Cross shelter volunteer, there's a workshop at 6 o'clock on Tuesday on shelter operations, and this is required for American Red Cross volunteers, I guess, 463-5713. Some really special events happening. The second annual End of Summer Spectacular fundraising dinner for the St. Nicholas Russian Orthodox Church. This is on Friday from 5 to 9. It's at the St. Anne's Parish Hall. They are having salmon and halibut and roast beef and all kinds of really great food. So Friday night, make that a destination. Gathering of the Drums, Friday night, really sort of late for us old people. 9 o'clock out at the Noise Pavilion. This is free. They'll have fry bread. You can get up in the morning on Saturday morning and walk a mile in her shoes or do a one-mile march in high heels over at Sandy Beach.
I'm not wearing my high heels.
I'm afraid I did that a few too many times. No longer can. Women's Health Forum is over at Centennial Hall. All kinds of fun stuff like Nolan the Colon and various other things. 11 to 2, Centennial Hall, Saturday. It is the Special Olympics annual spaghetti feed and dessert auction on Saturday. It is at the Thunder Mountain Commons, and you can get more information about all of these things by looking on our website. Here's page 2, though. The Capital City Fire and Rescue annual Fallen Firefighter Memorial event happens on Sunday at 1 o'clock at Centennial Hall. Polaris House is having an open house on Tuesday from 10 to 11 a.m. If you're interested in finding out all about Polaris House, please come down. There's a couple of important deadlines coming right up. 5 o'clock on Friday is the Alaska Litho Photo Contest submissions are due. If you are considering applying for the Juneau Arts and Culture Center booking manager, we're hiring over there. That's due on Friday. And if you're drawing a library bookmark, your design is due by the end of the day on Saturday. So that's, we have quite a few things going on. And as I mentioned, if you're interested in getting more details, and there's a few things I didn't include on here, you can go to the calendar online at www.jahc.org or go to K2. What's your website?
www.ktuo.org.
And once again, I just want to encourage people not to miss Teivaca. It's, we're really pleased and excited to have these folks here in town. So make an effort.
And how can people get tickets?
They can go to our website. They can go to Hearthside Books. They can go to Rainy Retreat. And I think pretty soon you'll be able to go out to Roswick Giles. This is quite a weekend. You've got the Singing in the Rain Friday night. You got the Battle of the Bands or the Wanderer on Saturday night. You also have the Alaska Youth Choir on Saturday night. And then you got Teivaca on Sunday. Then you have a sort of a holiday on Monday and Tuesday.
There's the 39 Steps and there's also the Midsummer
Night's
Dream.
That's right. Did I forget to mention all the... There's 39 and Midsummer's Night Dream. I don't know how you're going to do it.
I'm not sure grammatically if you could say that there is 39 Steps or there are 39 Steps.
I don't know. I think it is 39 Steps. I'm not sure.
It sounds bad.
Okay, very good.
The play is good.
The play is superb. And I am looking forward to Midsummer's Night Dream very much. You do, like I said, this is a pretty cramped weekend. You might need to take it in next weekend, but tonight's a free preview, so hey.
Nancy DeTourney, thank you for coming down the station today.
We'll see ya.
And you are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau. We broadcast at 104.3 FM in downtown Juneau and Douglas. KTOO also broadcasts on these translators. In the Valley and Ock Bay area, tuned to K276 AF at 103.1. In Lemon and Schweitzer Creek, K269 AO at 101.7. Gustavus listens on K201 AM 88.1. K220 BT Sirs Hunad 91.9. In Excursion Inlet and Icy Strait, you can hear KTOO on K210 AS 89.9. We're also live online at www.ktoo.org. Coming up next is All Things Considered, followed at 6 o'clock by Alaska News Nightly. Marketplaces at 6:30 and at 7 o'clock, the Alaska Identity Project. Today, the first part of the show features Brandon Smith and Ashley Johnston from the Alaska Brewing Company talking to host Ashley Adrian Lopez. From 7:30, she will talk to Dip Spencer, owner of the Scow Girls Rule, which is the first all-female floating fish processing operation that's near Pelican, Alaska. Tomorrow in June afternoon, Pat Moore will be your guest host. We'll get the details on tomorrow night's Evening Vegan presentation by Dr. Thomas King. Barney McClure will be here to highlight this week's cabaret concert, Singing in the Rain. We'll talk with author Anna Marie Spagna about tomorrow night's literary presentation and library presentation and Saturday's writing workshop. We'll also find out about the Juneau Douglas High School production of The Curious Savage with director Michelle Moore. At Writer's Almanac Music and more tomorrow at 3 on a Juneau afternoon. Weather forecast for tonight, mostly cloudy skies with areas of fog later on, isolated rain showers expected with low temperatures around 36 degrees. Forecast for Friday, mostly cloudy skies with areas of fog in the morning and isolated rain showers continuing with high temperatures around 45 degrees and light winds. Friday night, cloudy skies with a chance of rain, looks like Saturday, rain, high temperatures around 45 degrees. Sunday, more rain showers likely with high temperatures around 47 degrees. Thank you for tuning in to June Afternoon today and have a great evening.